My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's The Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Let me see you leaning rock with like a bounce. All right, Brandon Ayuk, will he stay or will he go? 49ers say they want to keep him.
Yep.
But there is a trade in place should Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers not come to an agreement on the terms of the deal. This is a weird one.
It is.
It's felt
a little back and forth on what we've thought is going to happen.
It's played out publicly. Like Brandon Ayuk's on Instagram saying, look, y'all got two options. Pick one. Either pay me or trade me.
It's not that simple because the team they trade him to has got to have a contract that Ayuk is going to accept.
That's true.
And so he's oversimplifying.
That is true.
Because if they could just trade him and they take the highest bid for him and not care about, you know, in terms of the team he's going to, it has to be a team that's going to sign him in this case.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I mean, we don't know. We don't know the answers to these questions. We don't even know what this agreement, we don't know what the parameters of it are. Like, who would be going back to San Francisco?
Yeah, I'd hope that there would be more reporting on that coming off of yesterday into today, but there hasn't been so far.
So, just to sort of back up here, Brandon Ayuk received permission to negotiate trades with other teams, a while ago. He's been laser-focused on Pittsburgh and going to Pittsburgh. And apparently, again, there's a trade agreement in place. But the 49ers would like to keep Brandon Ayuk because we talked about this maybe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. When it comes to on-off splits with Brandon Ayuk, his impact is as drastic as any receiver in the NFL when he's off the field versus when he's on. Brandon Ayuk is probably not thought of in that way by the sort of casual NFL fan, but he's a really freaking good NFL wide receiver who anybody would be lucky to have.
Real quick sidebar, because I've been thinking about the numbers that you showed us on Ayuk and as it relates to this. CeeDee Lamb wants to be high, too.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly get that information.
No need to get it, but we agree that CeeDee, when he's on and off the field, that's another reason why they have to get him signed up.
No question. I assume they'd be similar. You know?
I'm assuming he's up there as well. Not to take away from the point here.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about those numbers you told us about Ayuk as it relates to CeeDee's situation.
Yes.
And he's got to be high on that
list. I think that's kind of the point, though, because people probably don't view Brandon Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb in the same tier, but they are.
Well, it's weird. With CeeDee, he's playing out of the slot now, so it's really kind of weird, but he is that valuable to that offense.
Right.
I mean, that's where they've made him the most valuable. You can't even cover him out of the slot.
Yes. And so we sort of await this. 49ers did draft Ricky Pearsall in the first round. Maybe as a little bit of a hedge.
Yes.
You know,
there's no question it was a hedge.
In case they couldn't get
first round capital on him.
But, you know, he's not been healthy. He's missed a lot of camp, you know, with shoulder injury and a hamstring injury and other things like that. Although people are extremely high on him. I mean, you know, C.J. Stroud was dying that he didn't get Ricky Pearsall. C.J. Stroud is selfish. He wants all the damn players. He was mad he didn't get him. He's mad he didn't get, a ton of players. But he got Stephon Diggs. You know, you got Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. I mean, good grief, dude. How much you need? But according to ESPN, teams are willing to pay Ayuk more than twice as much as his fifth-year option. he has balked so far at multiple offers. So, again, I don't know what the 49ers are willing to pay. They have the Brock Purdy contract coming up they have to think about. They have other positions that they have to think about as well. So that's the balance. That's the balance. That's what we always talk about on the show when it comes to your favorite NFL team. It is as much as about acquiring talent as it is when you acquire it, right? And do you draft it as a rookie and play that talent, or does it take 3 years, et cetera? And then when all this sort of comes together and coalesces, it may make a mess of a situation where, you know, you do have to make difficult choices. I mean, we live this, it feels like, year after year with Kirk Cousins in Washington.
Somebody made the point the other day, though, that kind of goes against something we've said, that Philly got it done, that they got quarterback, both receivers signed up.
They did have to make some choices, though, did they not? Like,
and you bring in Saquon.
Yeah, well, the running back's probably going to be a cheaper.
I mean, where have they lost because of that? Where can you? It has to be defensively, right?
In some, yes, of the, I mean, like Hassan Reddick's gone.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of them.
You couldn't pay him, so that was a big, you know. And
I mean, at some point, that's got to hurt you somewhere else, and you expect to see drop off, and maybe that's where we'll see it. But
yeah, I mean,
but to that, they have gone all in on that offense, particularly when you bring in Saquon Barkley and pay him what you did. It's got to be significantly less now defensively in terms of, yeah, what you're giving out, and more so to your point, what you're hitting on,
yeah,
more dependence on those young guys.
Oh yeah,
that's what you're doing, because you've allowed these veterans, like you've said, you're not going to pay them. You got to take the hit somewhere.
Exactly.
And they've been one of the few that have paid both receivers.
Yes.
Usually you're picking between, yes, one, like we're talking about here with.
But I mean, again, make no mistake about it. I mean, Hassan Reddick has 27 sacks in the last 2 years. I mean, that is a huge loss. I mean, that's not, you know, 13 and a half sacks a season that you're losing there, and those are, you know, absolutely vital.
Well, that's the other thing about this Ayuk thing, is that Hassan Reddick deal, where he's holding out, where he won't to the team, but with the team that he's traded to, hasn't signed yet, is why the 49ers can't just trade Ayuk anywhere, because that's the deal. Who's going to take him, mm-hmm, if he does what Hassan Reddick's doing? That's why a deal has to be in place that you'd think Ayuk's going to say okay to. So it's sort of like having a, you know, a veto, and I mean, a trade clause,
right,
no trade clause in a way for,
right,
Ayuk, even though he doesn't technically have one here.
Right. You lose DeAndre
Nobody
Swift.
Nobody wants the Hassan Reddick situation.
Don't forget him. You lose him in the backfield. He's now a Bear.
Yeah, but they didn't lose. You paid Saquon.
That's true.
And they paid him. They paid him over market value.
Kevin,
I want to say, even from the Giants.
Gone too.
Yeah, he's gone two places. He's now a Bear.
Yeah.
Didn't he trade? Was it Titans first? It was
Titans
somewhere first.
They acquired, but they couldn't pay him. They couldn't,
yeah,
pay Kevin,
okay,
Byard.
So we're getting him from Philly,
yeah,
where he did not look good last year. That's,
yeah,
right. That's the sequence.
That's right.
Byard, my
bad. You know, also Jason Kelce retired, you know, so that's something to keep in mind. But, you know, there's a few. I mean, there's a few guys that.
But who's the kid they stole in the draft 2 years ago on the line, on the front line? Because he fell in the draft.
Oh, Jalen Carter.
They got him up front,
yeah,
on a rookie deal. Like they,
yeah,
got, that's what, and that's what they're obviously depending,
yeah,
on, is those rookie deal guys to step up.
Yeah, look, I suppose, like, you know, with the Eagles, they're, you know,
it's Fangio too, who I respect, but,
right,
you know, if he's got less to work with,
you lose a dominant edge rusher because you can't pay him. He's disgruntled with the contract. Mm-hmm. You can't pay him. That's a big loss. It is a big. And. You know, we'll see what happens this year. We don't know what that defensive line is going to look like. You know, we'll see if – I mean, I'm pretty high on the Eagles because I do think that offense is pretty damn unstoppable as far as that goes with Saquon now. But we'll see what it looks like defensively. But, again, the only team that's figured this out is the Kansas City Chiefs. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking about this the other day too. Like the last 16 quarterbacks – that got to, it might be more now, because you got to add Jalen Hurts. I think it might be 17 now. But the last 17 QBs that made their Super Bowl debut and lost have not even so much as gotten back. That's kind of a crazy, like, you got to lose the first one, right? If you don't win your first one,
mm-hmm,
that's kind of a crazy.
It is a little bit.
I think a lot of that, again, is because guys have to get paid. Guys are coming off that Super Bowl season. Their contract money goes up. You know, and people, you lose positions, and it's not as good, you know. And I guess Burrow would maybe be the one I would say has the – and maybe Jalen Hurts. Those, they have a chance to break that streak. who would you say is more likely, Burrow or Jalen Hurts, to break that streak? In terms of, like, who does it first?
Probably Burrow.
I think that's true. I think this is probably the year for him to do it. You know,
they have a lot to prove.
They play a third-place schedule because of the injury. So, like, you are going to be in contention.
It feels like slow starts have plagued them the last 2 years.
Yes.
No Joe Mixon. Who's that back?
I literally looked this up the other day.
You know, one thing we haven't done, and so I'm a little later than it feels like I usually am, maybe a week or two later, is we haven't done a lot of fantasy football talk about the league coming up. And so I haven't explored a lot of these.
Zach Moss? Yeah, Chase Brown. It's pretty weak.
Not nearly as dynamic as having Mixon in the backfield, especially the last couple of years of Mixon. Been really good.
No, it's not.
And he's played.
But they upgraded at tight end. You know, you have T. Higgins one more time. You know, you'll take your chances. Moss is pretty. It's pretty lame.
Well, that's definitely two steps down.
It is. But you know, our man Adam Chernoff loves him some Chase Brown.
Burrow doesn't seem to mind when he's got to throw for 400. He'll do it.
But yeah.
He also needs to play.
Yeah. No. You score. You throw to score. Run to win.
Season.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know if the Bengals will be able to do that. But again, you know. 49ers have a decision to make here. They got to figure out whether they want to pay Brandon and keep him in the fold. I would probably say they should because of the dependence you would then have on Debo and Pearsall and Kittle, you know, and McCaffrey. I mean, it's just that much more on them. Debo and Pearsall already have injury history. You know, Kittle, you know, is an aging tight end.
Yeah, you get along with the two.
Chris McCaffrey's a running back who you're already leaning on as it is. You know, I would probably do it out of necessity, but I don't know if that's where the 49ers are. So we shall see. And then it makes sense for Pittsburgh because, you know, it's a true number one. It's a true number one that you haven't really had there since Antonio Brown. I mean, you got to go back that far. I mean, Juju we thought would be, but he was not.
Pickens, I think, has a chance to be.
He does if he can, like, get his head out of his ass. I mean, that's he just got to be a professional, you know. And if he can do that, then I would say there's definitely the talent is there for sure.
For all this talk, it just occurred to me, this talk, you know, we're doing about Philly and the Niners and all that. They're all wannabes because, like you said, only one team's doing it, and only one team has a shot to be first team ever win three straight Super Bowls.
I know.
So we probably don't spend enough time.
I know.
Breaking down.
Yeah.
You know, their chance here to do.
Yeah.
And it's a damn good one.
It is a damn good one.
Because, I mean, I guess you're a betting man, so if I said KC or the field, I know what you're going to take. You're going to take the field. But
I'm not going to feel comfortable about it.
But the odds are.
Yeah.
Is that we're going to be talking about Mahomes at the end of this thing going for three
straight. Somehow, some way.
Because that offense will be better than it was last year.
Yep.
And if that defense plays as well, and they took a hit in the secondary, but if that defense plays as well as it did last year.
Absolutely right.
They're back. And we're spending all this time on the would-bes, could-bes, should-bes, trying to do it all like KC. It's been like we don't spend enough time on this historic run they're on, and Patrick about to get three in a row probably by the time this thing's over.
Absolutely right.
I mean, in the end, they're the king of the hill. It's who you got to beat. It's the standard.
Yes. And, you know,
and the unfortunate standard's greatness right now.
And they had a great draft, you know. I mean, they're going to play with a fullback now. Like, they're just going to continue to innovate and lead the way.
They even paid their kicker.
Who doesn't miss. You know, I mean, the only thing that could derail them, as it did in 2020, is the offensive line. You know, there are questions about the line. And we saw when you have a good pass rush, that can get – now, again, that was 4 years ago, but it did get Mahomes out of his element.
That's the only way you can do it. That, you know, rattled them to get to him.
So if the offensive line is not as good as it needs to be, but that's true of everybody. That's true of every QB, right? I mean, there's not a – you know, there's
he's
not,
one of the best at adjusting as well when there are weaknesses.
Absolutely right. So even if the offensive line is bad, it's not like it's like this –
still a goat.
Yeah, you would pretty much take – Mahomes in any circumstance. So look, yeah, I would take the field, but it would not be a bet that I'm super comfortable about because they identified the deep threat with Worthy, and that's what they needed. You know, I mean,
complete upgrade.
And by the way,
wherever Valdez-Scantling is now, I can't remember. He's dropping the ball in preseason camps,
yeah,
and whatever, wherever he's traveled to. That nomad.
Why on earth
an upgrade going to Worthy?
If you're the Buffalo Bills, if you see Kansas City calling you on draft day, would you pick up the phone?
We said that was stupid at the time.
And it's just like,
because you're helping the team that's above you, right, and that you're trying to get to.
And by the way, not only that, it's a guy you probably needed, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you drafted Keon Coleman, and we'll see. But
yeah, I do like Keon. And
yeah, I mean, he might end up being good.
He's a big boy on the field.
He's huge. He's huge. But it's like, you know, why? Okay.
It's the Bills. That's where I saw Valdes-Scantling. It was in the preseason game.
And I believe the Bills are also the team that the Kansas City Chiefs traded with to get Mahomes.
Yeah, they are.
So it's like, how many times y'all gonna help these folks? I mean, like,
they're helping them cement the dynasty.
This is how I'd answer. This is what I do. Kansas City call. Hello.
You don't even need to pick up.
Yeah. This is what I do. Hang up. I don't care what y'all offer. It ain't happening. No more deals, because y'all make me look stupid every time. So if y'all want something, like, here's what I'm trying to do. You know, I want to figure out who it is. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Who do you want? Because I'll draft his ass. That's what I'm going to do at this point. I ain't making no damn trades with the damn Buffalo Bills anymore. So
I was just looking at, if Andy Reid wins three.
Or the Kansas City Chiefs, I should say.
If Andy Reid wins three in a row, you walk out. But no one will ever top that.
But, bro, I mean, why walk away from Mahomes? It's like, you win 10.
Because you want to be. It's time to be with family.
Yeah.
Because you've one time they said you couldn't win the playoffs. You couldn't get over the hump. That's when you were with the Philadelphia Eagles. You've disproven that.
Yeah.
And then taken it to history, taking it to a place we've never seen.
Right.
Where some will ask, is he the greatest? Because Bill Belichick never won three in a row. You'll at least be in that conversation more and certainly in it forever. I'm just saying, I could see what you're saying. You got Patrick Mahomes. You want to ride it out with
like Wimby,
man. 66. You want to go to 72. If that, you know, however long Patrick wants to roll with this thing. But at some point, man, you know, Andy Reid's proven everything he needs to. If he wins three in a row,
yeah,
bro, go be with family. We know there's been some family issues,
yes,
man. You know what I'm saying? Like, go,
yes,
you know, maybe it'll be. I would just think about going out that way.
Well,
he'd be lifted up onto the shoulders of men. And the next, his, I mean, next stop going to be Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Remember, it did occur to me as we're talking about this that I was raked over the coals. I was left out to dry. I was made to be a fool of when I drafted Mahomes in our dynasty rankings. And I said that Mahomes could do this. Mahomes could be, he could win five. He could win six. And everybody involved thought I was so stupid.
I did think you were crazy to say six.
But
even say he's going to come close, you know,
wouldn't
seven.
Would you say six feels good? I mean, he's got three.
I don't know about feel good, but I am the one sitting up here talking about how good their chances are to win.
I mean, they may not win three
in a row here.
I think how old is Mahomes? Let's see. Is it like 27? I think he just turned 27. So let's say he's 28. He just turned. He'll be 29 actually in September. So he's getting up there.
Yeah, that doesn't change much.
I mean, he only has, what, 8 years left max?
Yeah, 8 to 10. You don't see Mahomes taking a lot of hits.
But he's got to move.
He's real slick about it.
He's got to move.
You mean he waddle?
Yeah,
he waddles around. He fools y'all. It's a deceptive athleticism.
Yeah,
but it ain't, you know, it's not Lamar Jackson. It's not even Caleb Williams. I tell you. He doesn't have to run, John. He can beat you from the pocket.
Six straight AFC title games.
That tells me longevity.
That's
there.
So
you can
sick.
Last a little bit longer.
That is so sick.
When you can win from the pocket. When you don't have to depend on your legs. He's shown us he doesn't have to depend on his legs.
Okay, fine. So let's just say he has 10 years left.
I would say use 10.
Okay.
I think that's a good round number.
So
for
he's got three. So he'd have to win 30% of the next 10 Super Bowls. I would say he definitely would be favored to do that. Three of the next 30% is not even that high of a number. It's not like it's 50 or 60. So, I mean, I'd say it probably comes in under because you have to keep everything else intact.
You need
Kelsey.
How long? Yeah, exactly. I was going to say Chris Jones.
Right.
It's more to it than by himself. Chris Jones was the MVP last year, should have been.
I think the number is probably 5.5. That's what I would say. That's the number I'd set.
Yeah.
You know. And that's if he only plays 10. He may say, I'll play till I'm 42 years old. I might, you know, I mean, that's more and more common these days with the greats.
He may have won too much by then to need to play that.
But Brady's got seven now, right?
Yes.
So
the seventh one with Tampa Bay.
I don't think a quarterback.
I still feel good about.
No, I think again, you're safe at seven.
I probably was the one ridiculing you that day, saying even talking about getting close is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken a half. You got to take a half step to a step back here.
I'd say a step or two.
I would still say I feel really good about it.
Yeah, I mean,
about Tom. Nobody touching Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a quarterback's probably ever going to break that. Right?
Come on, man.
You're not winning eight. That's impossible. Yeah,
I would tell you he needs Reed if he's going to go all the way through.
No, I agree with that for sure. I mean, the scheme is such a big part of it.
Reed's 66.
Yeah.
Might turn 60. I didn't check it when he turned 67, but he's up there.
Yeah, that record, we're talking about like the
Can
Shelby
he be
County.
In the best of health, too? I'm just saying. A man like Andy Reed?
I mean, probably not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, that comes into play.
Well, yeah, like, but he, you know, who knows?
My guy can't just be out there forever.
Every hair on your head is numbered. We don't know what his number is. We have no idea. But NFL training camp going on, and no surprise that Patrick Mahomes looks amazing, and the Chiefs are the favorites for a reason, and San Francisco 49ers trying to figure out what to do with Brandon Ayuk.
Next story.
All right, these came out either as we were getting off or they're too late for us to talk about them, but Sportico broke down the valuations of each NFL team, and, you know, surprisingly, to some, is the number that the Cowboys are at. What's not surprising is the fact that the Cowboys are on top, worth a total of $10.32 billion. First team to go over $10 billion. And as they write over at CBS Sports about Sportico's article, the crazy thing is that the Cowboys might actually be worth more than $10.32 billion. Jones once said he wouldn't sell the team for less than $10 billion, and that was back in 2018. So what they could actually fetch is probably more. I think the biggest news, other than the fact that you go over $10 billion, and that's just the NFL monster, and it continues to grow, and those numbers will continue to get bigger, is the fact that the Rams, where they are in this thing. The Rams, that was one of the other big things. The move from Los Angeles has paid off for Stan Kroenke. He is now the second most valuable franchise in the NFL, the freaking Rams. With a valuation of $7.79 billion during their final year in St. Louis, is just a estimate of how much it's gained. They were $1.45 billion, and so now up to $7.79 billion. So even in a market like L.A. that we've hit over, you know, we've talked about there. It's still not a ton of. It's still not a football market in the sense that, especially for the Chargers, there hadn't been a ton of latch on. But the stadiums, the Super Bowl for the Rams, there's been enough of a pushback. They've gotten their football back. They're back into it now, and having it out in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
is just in terms of your valuation compared to St. Louis, it doesn't compare. Your value goes way up, but. Man, you feel bad for St. Louis fans, but when Stan Kroenke can put up that valuation at you and tell you, man, look how much more we're worth now. You know, you can't blame him as a businessman for taking him out there. Again, all these numbers have gone up, but the fact that the Rams are up there to, you know, now up to second, a Rams franchise. Like, is their gear highly bought? I don't see a lot of Rams gear around like you do Cowboys and everybody else.
The real estate component of that in the stadium.
It's the market. It's where you are. It's the stadium itself. And, heck of a move. Heck of a move up this list for Stan Kroenke. Mark Davis's decision, we talked about this when we saw the Forbes list, to move his team to Las Vegas. The Raiders are worth a total of $6.7 billion, just 5 years after making the move to Oakland, where their last year they were $2.9 billion. So they've gone up about $4 billion. Top 10, Cowboys, Rams, the surprise one, Giants, Patriots, Niners. Then you got Jets, Dolphins, Eagles, Raiders, Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, that's not...
Raiders now number nine.
That's to be so valuable and to have so little to show for it is embarrassing. That's the part for me. Like, bro, how you top 10 and you don't have a playoff win in 18 years?
I mean, Cowboys, you said in the same boat in terms of Super Bowls and playoff drought.
When's the last time they've won a playoff game, though, right? I mean,
Playoff game, yeah. But I'm talking about, this is the one that's at the top and has been at the top and will always be at the top. That drought for them has gotten...
Yeah, the Super Bowl drought is definitely...
You're talking about 90s.
Yeah. The Rams blocked the Raiders moved to L.A., so the Raiders wanted to go to L.A. for that reason. But I'm glad they didn't, because I did not want to be a sports fan of an L.A. team. So, and plus, it's just a great excuse to get out to Vegas now. Probably, I'm thinking about going this year for for the Falcons game in December. See a little Kirk Cousins Bijan action.
Okay,
maybe, I don't know.
Okay,
I think it's a Monday night, so that's a little bit more convenient in terms of the travel deal. I want to try to make one every single year after last year. You know, that was fun. That was just a lot of fun, man. I had to go into a home game there, you know, and contributing to the net worth of my franchise, my favorite franchise. That is, anytime I can just line the, pockets of Mark Davis.
I admire that you can still do that with two kids, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's a blessing.
There's just something non-negotiable. But you could do anything you want to do in this life. I mean, there's really nothing that's holding you down. You know, it's just it's a societal, you know, manufacturing that what you feel that I can't do this because I have this X, Y, and Z. You have free will. You know, you can say F them kids if you want to. I'm leaving.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you apparently have no problem. No.
But societal pressures keep us from pursuing the things that we maybe want to do. You know, but I say to you, do not feel judged. Like you ain't even gonna go to a Bears game this year. I mean, it's just, what are we doing here?
No, it's on there. It's on there. We remember we had it on last year. Then Mom passed away. It's on there this year for October. I think we had week six. I think it's Carolina.
Okay, that's right.
I'm trying to get a win.
Okay.
It'll be around fall break or whatever.
That's right.
But that's the difference. And maybe it'll change as Dom gets older. You'll want him to be a football fan, whether it's Raiders or not. But when I think about going to the game now, it's sort of not as hey, I'm going to go have a good time. I wish I could still do that. Thinking about it as just now I've got to incorporate.
That's true.
You know, then that's Faith's hometown, so she's got to make the trip up too.
Oh, yeah,
And of course, but back to the point. I want Chris to go to the game.
Yes.
I want that experience as opposed to
myself, yeah,
which I've done.
And
I'm hoping we're at that age now where it's important.
I think you are.
We were trying to do it last year.
Yes.
And then had Dad coming in for Belize. All of it fell apart. So, I've been looking forward to that for a while now. That takes an age.
It does.
I guess I could be like you and just take him at three or four, but we've talked about it. What's the point of taking him up there if you can't remember the damn thing?
Exactly.
Maybe, again, once Dom comes of age, it might even be Riley.
Yeah.
And they want to go. I think it changed your perspective a little bit on, okay, well, it has to be, this is now family time I'm looking for.
No, I think that's true.
If Riley
would not happen at three or four in Vegas. That's just not happening.
Exactly.
If she was, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old and she said, I want to go to a Raiders game, like, for sure, I'll take you. Same for Dominic. Like, if he wants to, for sure. But until then.
That's the fulfillment now. But it's like you're still living the bachelor life out here. It's amazing.
It's my time.
I guess so.
You know.
That's a blessing.
Ernie's got a big college basketball event that week, El Jefe. He's got some teams.
Who was it last year? It was Creighton.
Creighton and UNLV. He sat courtside for that one.
What we got this year? We can't say.
It's I can't remember off the top of my head. It's not as premier as that game. You know, I don't know if he was slacking this year. I don't know what was going on with him in terms of the collection of teams. He's going to have to probably pay me for the social media posts if he wants them.
Oh, wow.
You know, I did post a courtside picture last year for the free. But this year, it's going to have to be under the table because these teams just are, you know, I can't even justify this with Field of 68. I mean, we ain't talking about these teams, you know? I mean, what are we doing here? So we're going to have to work that part of it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, we live and learn. Last year, we spent a week in Vegas. This year, I don't care how much value them folks have, it will not be a week. I was hiding in my hotel room by the end of it. I was just hiding.
I know. You come back and you tell us all these stories about how you were gone too long.
That's true.
Well, just be a man and come back.
Well, I had to go for two games. I had to go for two games.
Well, and you saw history, so.
I saw history on both sides.
It ends up being God's plan, obviously.
It was.
Don't score, and then you score a franchise high or something like that. Didn't score a touchdown, wasn't it?
No, didn't score at all.
What was the score of that first one?
It was 3-0.
10-0. Oh, my gosh. It's like one of the lowest scoring games in NFL history.
And it was a game winner, basically, field goal.
That's right. And I knew. So it went from literally extreme to extreme.
No, they were. It was like. It was such a bad game. And, you know, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0. At that point, you're like, is this going to be 0-0 going into overtime?
I do remember that now.
Like, there was some history on it. I don't think a game has ever gone into overtime in the regular season 0-0. I think that was what we were potentially rooting for, or a tie. at 0-0, right? Like, yeah. you're starting to root for that. The game was so bad. Then, of course, you know, the 63-21 game was just...
complete opposite.
Mad Max, just unbelievable. Fury Road.
Wow.
It was...
And to experience that in the same week, that was just crazy.
Emotional roller coaster, man. And I would have it no other way. Ninth in the value for the Raiders.
Yeah, you guys have moved up.
But that's not the real story.
I'm assuming the Chargers eventually will move up. When they get their stadium, you'll get a little bump. Don't know if you'll get a top 10 bump, but you'll get a bump. And it feels like my Bears have fallen out of the top 10. I don't want to have the rest of it because I'm not a Sportico subscriber.
Yeah.
And I just got the top 10 list.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't you guys
I feel like the Bears
one?
Are typically top 10. It's not done. Nobody's agreed on a plan or payment or anything.
Because they want to move
it. Checked. Yeah, no, well, first it was Arlington. Then Arlington fell through because of the appraisal. The Bears want it back in the city and sort of a new plan with Soldier Field, but who's going to pay for it is the question.
Got you.
Okay. But eventually, yes, but I'm more interested in these ones that have had lower evaluations like the Titans and how much a stadium bump helps them.
Yep.
You know, we'll see.
Next story.
I don't know if you're holding out for this, but Conor McGregor is not going to fight in UFC in 2024.
I don't believe you bring this mess to my doorstep.
Well, the only reason why it's news today is because he and Dana White are going back and forth about it.
Yeah,
Dana continues
Dana's
to say
mad at him.
He's not fighting. He basically stiffed him in a fight that was scheduled for, it was supposed to be in Dublin, I think, right?
Conor stiffed Dana?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
He no-showed her.
Yes, making sure that that's the way you were putting that.
And it was UFC 303, but a broken toe, quote-unquote, is what we're calling this, forced McGregor out of that fight 16 days before it was scheduled to happen. Now, since then, again, Conor McGregor has been adamant he will be back before 2024, but Dana has been absolutely equally adamant that it is not happening. He will not be in the octagon between August and October, and so you're running out of time here. It's actually, there's a couple of things here. One, Conor McGregor has made too much money, it feels like, for him to care anymore. Like, he just doesn't, he doesn't take these fights seriously anymore. He doesn't, you know, what drove McGregor in the beginning was the fact that he didn't have it and that he was trying to be a star and he was trying to be on top of the UFC.
Sure.
And then he got there and then he was there for 3-4 years, you know, and he made all the money and he did the whiskey thing, and now he's like, he has no motivation. He has no motivation to do this other than to just take a check. He's not fighting for titles. He's not, you know, trying to climb that ladder. And so I think that's sort of the heart of the issue here. Dana's trying to sell fights, of course, and Conor would do that, but you also have to have Conor doing that and approaching the fight professionally. And that's where that's what's not happening.
Right.
Conor is not, he's partying, he's, you know, doing whatever he wants. And again, like, I have no problem with that. But my whole thing is, like, why string Dana and UFC along about the whole, like, either commit to being a professional about it for 4 months or however long it takes to train and get yourself right and ready and get the money and do the fight, win or lose, or don't commit to doing it. Like, what's so damn hard about that? Like, I mean, I know that you can never have enough money.
Right.
So I get that part of it, but I don't know. I think it just makes Conor look extremely childish. That's the thing I appreciate about, for example, The Rock. The Rock comes back to the WWE, and it's different. It's different, but it's same. WWE helped make him.
Right.
It helped put him into his platform now where he's Maui. He's doing Moana live action, brother. You'll be there November 16th, front of the line.
Isn't Conor doing one of these contender series or something as a coach?
As a coach, but that's different, you know. I mean, he's not.
I would say that Dana needs to decide that us, you know, in terms of being in business with Conor,
that's
the fighter is over because
you
recognize that this guy, what he is now, not motivated in the same way. Yes, those paydays used to be great, but they're over for the most part. And
exactly.
Again, you know, you're hoping to tap back in. And I think what you got to realize, if you're Dana White, you need to, that tap's over. That well's dry.
It is.
And you need to move on from that. Now, back to your point, can he still have him, you know, Rock sort of contributing coach's role around as a face? Yeah, that's what I'd be interested in. But I wouldn't be, you know, holding my breath for this guy. Otherwise, it's going to continue to be let down after let down. That's going to continue to reflect back on you.
Exactly.
You know, promoting him in these fights and then him not performing.
Yes.
So you have bad events.
Yeah, so John Jones is headlining UFC 309. So he's coming back for that. I mean, again, you know.
Feels like they're trying to go back to a lot of old.
They are. They
oldies
are.
Oldies but goodies.
UFC, it feels like...
How old is John Jones?
Oh, dude, he's up there. He's like almost in his 40s, if not in his 40s. He is 37.
And
so.
Then some of the shine has come off of my boy, and forgive me, because I maybe he won his most recent fight, but the Adesanya dude...
Yeah, he lost his most recent.
I feel like that's multiple losses now.
I think, yeah.
Like, I felt like he was a big draw there, or potentially a guy that was coming up as one. Yeah, he'd do the dance and stuff beforehand, but I just wonder if they're, you know, who's that one we're all tuning in
for. He lost
for
two
now.
Of his last three.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he lost to Sean Strickland on September of last year in unanimous decision. He was knocked out by Pereira in 2022, in November 2022.
I mean, it's a story as old as time in the fight game, where guys were hungry. Mike Tyson literally had nothing. Then you get it all, and you either screw it up or you lose the motivation. And then it's the trying to sort of stay there afterwards and prove it to people.
Exactly.
I can still earn that money. I can still throw that punch. I can still throw that. And it's not there anymore.
Exactly,
so the,
right.
And that's where we are with Conor. But Dana needs to wise it up here.
Yeah, he does. And I agree with
and
that.
Stop. Like stop. I think we're done. I mean,
Conor's 36 years old.
The years of us watching Conor in there and getting excited about it are over.
I mean, he hasn't been a good fighter for at least 3 years. I mean, because I remember his last when he was in there, he got absolutely mollywopped against, I think it was Poirier. I think that was him. In 2021.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, and he fought him twice in a row, and I think the most recent one,
bro.
You know, he's fought him three times. The last time he looked good was against that damn jabroni, the cowboy hat wearing dude. And I can't remember his name, but Cerrone, I think was his name, Donald Cerrone. And that was in January 2020. And that was like a joke of a fight. That was a joke of a fight. He has not been the Conor McGregor versus, you know, Nate Diaz and Khabib and Jose Aldo. Like, you know, he hasn't been that in a long, long, long time. His time was probably, you know, he had 3 years. He had three really good years from 2015 to 2018.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, it was just a sideshow. It was just like, oh, here comes Conor. He's going to say some crazy things. He's going to do some crazy things. You remember the whole... the tour bus and the chairs and everything like that, you know. It was fun, and it was a draw. And it, you know, look, his fight versus Khabib in October 2018, 2.4 million pay-per-view buys. He was an unbelievable draw. But
he had us at a Fox and Hound for Mayweather.
He boxed, bro.
Pulled us all out. I know that had to be a good payday for them with the sales and everything else.
I like think that
the
probably,
world was still watching then. I feel like that's the last time we got out and watched him.
I think that was the actual end for McGregor.
Maybe so.
Because he got that payday, right? Like, he got his star. His star was built up to that level. He got, dude, $492 million did that fight do in revenue, right? And so you got to think he got a ton of that, more. So he got all that money. I mean, I assume that's the majority of his earnings, right? By far.
Isn't his whiskey doing well?
Oh, yeah, it's doing well, for sure. So he's got some of that stuff going for him as well.
So it's money that's made money. It's not,
yeah,
just,
I mean,
it's not just all going down the drain.
No, yeah.
That business has done well from what I've seen them for the commercials and stuff.
Yes, but it's just, you know, he's not, you know, he doesn't feel the need, you know, to do this anymore.
He needs to move out of the fight business and into the Conor McGregor business,
right.
The next stage,
yes.
The mogul, you know, focusing on his business.
He's lost three of the last four.
The fight thing's over. You're only going to further hurt your brand by losing fights.
Exactly.
So keep the brand strong, you know, and the memory strong by getting out of it now, and you can still be a face.
Exactly. So anyway, Conor McGregor
smart
not fighting
business.
In 2024, according to Dana White, for anybody that was hoping that happened.
Next story.
You know that the Tennessee Titans open the season on the road versus the Chicago Bears. That'll be on September 8th. This is not about the Chicago Bears. It's about the Tennessee Titans, because we now know what Will Levis is going to be smelling like for that matchup, as the Titans quarterback has unveiled a mayonnaise-inspired fragrance. And this is real, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there's probably one time in my life where I thought, you know, a lot of white people smell like mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea sort of how serious it was.
Right.
And it certainly is that for Will Levis, who apparently had been, and I didn't know this, going all the way back to his Kentucky days, well documented how much he loves the white stuff. the spread, and I get the sense that there are still there are a great many white men that don't like mayonnaise. So I don't want to stereotype here, but Will Levis does, and he and Hellman's mayonnaise have combined to put together a fragrance, and this is real. It's a real fragrance that you can buy, dubbed Will Levis Number 8 Parfum de Mayonnaise, and it is a mayonnaise based cologne that he is wearing. And while the commercial does, it looks like a parody, they are actually selling this stuff, a 30 milliliter bottle for $8, sold out, and it restocked this morning. The site where you can get it, and again, this is Hellman's Mayonnaise, the scent of greatness will be restocked tomorrow, meaning today, it would have been 9 a.m. Central Time. And so this stuff got bought off the shelves. It's cool for Hellman's Mayonnaise, very smart here, to pair with an athlete that's got a love for mayonnaise and further, again, get your brand out there being talked about. If you're not, you're just on the store shelves. But now you got an NFL, you've hooked yourself with the best, you know, professional league in the world, most viewed, and now you got him hawking mayonnaise perfume. I get the sense that you would not try this because you are
Bill Levis, Number 8 Parfum de Mayonnaise.
Tart lemon, mayonnaise accord, parsley, coffee overtones. This is the one I have the most problem with. Musk and creamy vanilla. Now, what is musk? Is it the musk of a sweaty white man? Is it musk?
Parfum de mayonnaise?
These are the six fragrant notes. And what is musk? Because when I think musk, much like it sounds, I think musty. I think must. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My father.
And so
had
your musk is just kind of the scent you wake up with. I've always thought. And if you're pouring that in with the mayonnaise and coffee undertones, it's going to smell like straight white man. It's you guys getting stronger.
Like one thing that you've never
seen as a black man who use mayonnaise cologne.
One thing that you've never said,
oh, even think about
said
it.
About me is that I smell bad. I mean, I think I do a pretty good job of like keeping it right.
That's why
tight.
I said you wouldn't wear this.
Yeah, you know, I pride myself not maybe to the degree of Herd. You know,
who, oh no,
wow, yeah.
But you say right and tight. I never. You don't have a smell, and I don't get close enough to you to know what your musk is like.
Well, I mean, if you ever did, you would say, that's a nice...
But you're not a cologne guy.
I wear cologne. I wear, Barbados. I don't remember exactly. I think it's John Barbados, not Barbados. John Barbados. I have that. I have...
You got that rock cologne. I already know you got something.
I've got some Dior. I've got some Prada.
Brahma Bull.
I've got some... I'm trying to think if I have anything else. I think those are my three. I got Dior, I got Prada, and I got Barbados of my three. I haven't gotten some in a while. I think that's probably fair. I need to maybe upgrade. Herd has a variety. He has a long list. He doesn't even like to, he actually gatekeeps his fragrances. He doesn't like to share.
I guarantee you won't be any of this stuff in there.
That's a joke. That's got to be a novelty. I mean, that's disgusting. I hate the smell of ketchup. I don't even like to smell ketchup. I hate the smell of a lot of things. Ketchup and condiments. Mustard, like when I was a kid, I was at my friend's house down the street. My neighbor,
ketchup just smelled like a tomato.
It really doesn't smell good to me. I fell asleep on their couch, and they put mustard on the end of a pencil and put it in my nose, and it was traumatic. And now I can't even look at mustard.
Yeah, that little spice in there go up in there.
I hate mustard.
Mess you up.
I hate ketchup. I don't do mayo. I don't do any of that stuff. You know, so. Yeah. This
most
is,
abused you with a condiment.
This is strange to me. This is extremely...
Well, I'm sorry we had to talk. I didn't realize this happened to you. I'm sorry that you had to talk about this publicly.
Yeah, no, well, I appreciate you giving me the platform. You know, but no, it's definitely not something that I would ever do, even if Will Levis played for...
No, it's $8 a bottle. Like, they're selling it for real. And if somebody bought that and wanted to spray it and nothing came out, they'd be mad. So this isn't just some, it's not just the bottle. You're getting a mayonnaise smell with musk, with creamy vanilla, with parsley. Y'all love y'all some parsley. Don't lie.
Do love that.
Yep. With coffee undertones and mayonnaise. Smelling like Will Levis.
Dumb as hell. absolutely dumb as hell. But you can get it if you want it.
Man, good job, Hellman's. Because exactly. Ain't nobody talking about mayonnaise.
Until now.
I think I could mess with Duke's. You ever heard of Duke's mayonnaise?
Yep, they got that bowl game for sure.
That's right.
So, anyway, good stuff. Her going to join us at 125. Maybe you can run this by him, see if he's going to get in line.
It'd be beneath him.
We'll come back. Jason and John, 90.7 FM, ESPN.
The Jeff Calkins Show, weekday mornings from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m.
The one part of the list that I did not find difficult at all, like at all, was picking the top five. And I know there will be some of you who quibble with, I think, one in particular. I think there's only one some will quibble with. But to me, there is a clear, clear differentiation between the top five and everybody else. And the top five, according to the votes of the Daily Memphian, Derrick Rose 5, Zach Randolph 4, D'Angelo Williams 3, Marc Gasol 2, and Ja Morant 1. And the clear differentiator is that when you watched them, you knew.
92.9 FM, ESPN, the only place in Memphis for the Jeff Calkins Show. Weekdays from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Don't forget to ask your smart speaker to play 92.9 ESPN. And whammo, there we are.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
A couple of bits of news here before we get to third hour. Minnesota Vikings rookie quarterback J.J. McCarthy is going to miss the entire 2024 season after having surgery on his torn meniscus. It is a repair.
Not the shave.
Right. So, again, he was not expected to be the starter. But, you know, anytime you miss an entire year of development,
you know, whether it's practice or, you know, you never know. Darnold, it's hard to stay, you know, healthy enough for a full season, right? You just never know. He probably would have gotten some opportunities. You miss that. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all for the Minnesota Vikings that he's going to be out for the full year.
No, I would echo what you're saying. I said it to you off air. Bottom line, it might not affect winning this year, but it sets his timeline back. And a guy like him, you know this better than anybody, needed to develop as a passer. That's what he didn't do at Michigan. And so reps, even preseason games, whatever time this year, super important for J.J. McCarthy, who did not throw the ball in college. So that's, yes, you're setting his timeline back, and it's not ideal whatsoever. But Sam Darnold probably represented their highest ceiling in terms of winning this year. I mean, you can make a case maybe J.J. comes in and surprises, but I think overall, yes, it's a blow to your, you know, the guy, what's your number 10 pick?
Yeah.
You invest a number 10 pick in him, you want him out there all year, certainly in practices and everything else, you want to have him.
Exactly. It's just, you know, again, I don't know how much he'll be able to do and when, you know, like that's going to be interesting. Like, you know, will he be able to do any kind of throwing? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but he's just going to be away.
I mean, that's the one that Jaren had where you were gone.
Yeah.
You're gone.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you're just going to be away from,
there's just more rehab involved. And then after the rehab, again, getting reps, throwing the ball again. Something he has just not done a lot of.
Exactly.
Getting back in that group. The timeline's all off now.
Yes, it is. And that's a great way of saying it. The timeline is definitely off now. And I don't know how you get it back. I mean, it's just kind of a lost year. And it's an important lost year. It's your rookie season, you know, where you're kind of trying to soak it all in and swim a little bit. And so now, you know, again, I don't know what it's going to look like. Can he be around a little bit as time goes on, you know, and just be, and just kind of soak.
I mean, you'll be in the quarterback room, but again, it's about reps. Exactly. That's the only way you get better, particularly a guy like him that needs development. So there's only so much you can learn being around.
Yeah.
And being out there, and that's going to be a while.
Exactly. So that's some
news.
They'll
be calling around looking for a backup quarterback now to Darnold, because they can't trust, right, what they've got behind Sam Darnold now.
Mm-hmm.
Jaren? What's the kid's name? Who's behind Darnold now?
It's Jaren Hall and Nick Bolton.
Hall. I couldn't think of Hall. I don't know. Maybe I guess you'll just push those guys up. I'd be making a call. But I don't trust either one of them.
Sam Darnold is not playing this weekend in preseason. I don't know if the plan was to play him in preseason or not, but obviously now you can't even think about risking it. So, you know, it's definitely just not an ideal situation whatsoever for the Minnesota Vikings. Some other things as we go on, the Memphis Grizzlies are moving to Nashville. They're just for training camp. Everybody calm down. Everybody's got such a weird complex around here. Everybody's got such a weird complex. I don't get it. You know, you guys are always so scared the Grizzlies moving. They're having their training camp in Nashville for the first time since 2013 because improvements to the rigging grid and the sound system have limited the number of usable spaces the team has at FedEx Forum. So they're moving to Nashville. They're going to Nashville. Why don't we just throw this back to 2003 and have this sumbitch at Rhodes? That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the real greatness was formed.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to high school, Ensworth.
Right. I mean, why don't we just do this thing at Rose, man?
Is Ensworth's gym, which is as much money as they've got, nicer than Rhodes is? I'm assuming it is, or anything else they could have had around here. Probably so, right?
Rhodes' gym is not bad, though.
Are they not the richest school in Tennessee? They're right up there, aren't they?
I don't know. Is there one in Knoxville?
I think if you took the riches from Memphis, Nashville, and Knoxville,
we go with Lausanne. I mean, Lausanne's got to be in that mix.
They might be getting up there. Brad can tell you about that. He's contributing to it.
Yeah.
Paying all that tuition.
No, Lausanne out here giving breaks.
Only to Musa.
Oh, that's right. Musa was in that IB program.
He probably caught a break.
We're going to get that.
I don't know. Is Jake catching a break? Can we say publicly?
Yeah, what kind of percentage break you getting over there?
We paying full. Yeah. He paid. Brad paying the strength.
Are you paying? Do you get a 10% discount with a lump sum?
If we get 8 to 9 wins this year, could that change? See, he can't talk about this.
He's not allowed.
Because once you get in the private school world, you can't. But he can give us signals, and that's what he's doing
now. He's giving us Morse code.
That's what he's doing now.
He's giving us Morse code. So
it's, I know of humans who have gotten breaks.
Absolutely.
Oh, what you say?
A lot of people.
I think that if you have multiple children, it certainly helps. When you have a one-off kid.
That's right.
And then they look at your income so that you can see if you can afford to pay for it. Like they research it. Like, is this person?
Right.
I mean, this is going to happen for college parents, too. This isn't just a private school.
No question.
This is going to happen when you guys send your kids to college or if you go to private, whatever. They go, okay, let's see your income statement. It is very uncomfortable. And I hate paying the bill, but it is what it is. So
I mean, they serve their Nashville market with this as because it looks like they got a couple.
Well, they're trying to market.
In fairness, they're doing the tour, too, where they go to Little Rock. They do Tupelo. They've got affiliates in these markets. I mean, they're trying to market this thing because it's
Tupelo.
A brand.
Bro, they love their Nashville fans.
Who's in Tupelo?
Last year they did St. Louis. They were up at Busch Stadium. They were throwing out first pitches. I mean, they're trying to do a regional thing like the Cardinals.
Well, let me ask you this. Where the hell are they going in Tupelo?
Oh, they've got stuff going on in Tupelo. They got an arena. They do a lot of events in Tupelo.
There's an arena down there.
Yeah,
didn't Memphis play LSU down there?
I believe so, but
yeah.
I thought, isn't there a newer one? Bancor, I think, is the name of it.
And it's pretty decent.
I don't recall it being that, but it's in Tupelo.
It's decent.
I hope they've upgraded since I was down there.
These teams have, if you're an NBA franchise, you have to do regional. You have to market regionally, and then that includes radio
affiliates.
Untapped. What about the Walmart in Osceola?
Well, they'll be coming there, too. Maybe the Sonic in Osceola.
Yeah.
Were you outraged
I love that Sonic.
Were you outraged in 2013 when they went to Nashville?
Hell yeah, I was outraged.
Okay. Go back and check the tapes. Were you on with Jeff at that point?
It was my first viral moment.
If producer John was outraged when they went to Nashville in 2013.
I was so pissed.
They've done this before.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it again because they're having, that limited usable spaces.
The Elkin Center at Ensworth High School is a 10,000 square foot fitness center. They've got 3 practice gyms, 5 standard basketball courts, LED video boards, 30,000 square feet of court space. They're set up for this. They've also got an indoor pool that rivals what St. George's has. They've got a golf center, a tennis. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I want to see that.
Look at the Ensworth facilities.
And all their boosters are going to get an inside look at Ja and to set up. They might have paid the Grizzlies to come because they got it.
Look at this natatorium they have. It's ridiculous.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an indoor Olympic, multiple indoor pool.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.